Rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, we're getting closer to that big day, Christmas. We're streaming live on Facebook, on our Paragon app on your phone, which is a free download, by the way. And we're also live on the radio, obviously. And you can find us on KECOFM.com also. Hey, before we get started, text line is open, 580-225-9697. That's the KECO Ag Hot Text Line, I call it. Text in today what you're grateful for this year. And if you don't mind, I'll read it on the air. So anyway, let's see what we're grateful for today. I'd be grateful for some rain, and but I've been grateful for a lot of things this year. Grateful for my beautiful wife. She always keeps me in check most of the time. Anyway, I'm really grateful for her. So that's one of the things I'm grateful for. And all my friends, my puppy Zoe, my cattle, my pickup truck. But anyway, I'm really grateful for my wife. So anyway, I love her very much. So weather right now is at 56 degrees. Dew point is 40. Humidity is 55%. Winds are out of the south at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 13. We'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast later on in the show. And speaking of them, I'm headed down there after the show. I'm going shopping for a shotgun. This might be my favorite time of the day, favorite day of the year, going find a new shotgun. So anyway, we got all kind. Man, the grains, they went berserk overnight. It's awesome. Cash prices in Oklahoma for grains as of 11 a.m., this morning, hard red winter wheat, $8.14 a bushel. Corn is at $5.95 a bushel. Man, it's getting close to that $6 bushel range. Milo's at $5.98. Same for Milo, getting close to $6. Soybeans, whoo, boom, they went skyrocketing. Soybeans are $12.61 a bushel cash price. Cotton's hanging in there. It's come up a couple cents this week. It's at $1.09 per pound. And oats, $6.75 per bushel. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about global weather. Dry weather and crop stress is expected to continue in most of the central and southern Brazil as dry conditions persist in them regions. Some rain is in forecast in the northern growing areas of Brazil, but others will remain dry. Little or no rain has fallen in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma in the past 60 days, according to the National Weather Service Advanced Prediction Service. About 20.1% of Kansas, the biggest producer of wheat in the United States, was seeing drought conditions. That's up from 19.4% last week and 6.38% 3 months earlier. Soybean futures for March delivery jumped 10.5 cents to $13.23 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $2.10 to $392.60 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.52 cents to 54.46 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery were up 3.25 cents to $6.01 a bushel, Wheat futures for March delivery added 5¾ cents to $8.04 a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 2 cents to $8.43 a bushel. Break-even prices for corn and soybeans are expected to be relatively high this year due to rising input costs, especially for fertilizer, according to a report from a group of agriculture economists. The cost to break even in 2022 is $4.73 a bushel for corn and $11.06 a bushel for soybeans, said the report from the University of Illinois economists Gary Strickley, I think that's right, Nick Paulson, and Krista Swanson, and Ohio State University economist Carl Seleff. Compared with historical levels, these break-even prices are very high. While current fall bids are above break-even levels, the high break-even levels present risk in 2022. Supply disruptions, and we're going to touch on that here a little bit in the show, high commodity prices, and inflation all will contribute to a high cost of production next year. The biggest increases in prices will be for fertilizer. A separate report last week from economists at the university said nitrogen prices will continue to increase. On December 3rd, the price for anhydrous ammonia in Illinois was $1,434 a ton. That's a $91 increase from just 2 weeks ago. Anhydrous prices more than doubled in the past year, according to that report. Well, my paper's stuck together here. Here we go. The most recent report from the economists on non-land costs to grow corn in Illinois are forecast at $755 an acre next year, while cash rent costs are expected to be around $309 an acre. And we were just talking this morning down here. I was talking to Kent this morning about what it probably cost to put in, what your cost would be here in Oklahoma on irrigated, and you're talking somewhere between $600 and $700 an acre here, and hopefully you can get somewhere between 160 to 200 bushels an acre. So it's going to be this, not even including any tractors, anything, but it's crazy what it's going to cost to put in a crop next year. That puts the cost of production at $1,064 an acre, easily surpassing last year's record cost of $915 an acre. Soybean costs are projected at $785 per acre, $476 in non-land cost, and $309 in cash rent. That's up from $651 an acre last year, and easily a record high for soybean costs. High break-even price levels highlight the risks associated with crop production in 2022. Current fall bids are above break-even levels, but higher. However, commodity prices will need to remain at these high levels for profitability and crop production to occur. Pricing some grain at current levels will be prudent. Fire weather conditions are expected in most of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle throughout the weekend amidst extremely dry weather, according to the National Weather Service. The driest weather will begin Thursday and last all the way till next Tuesday. A wind advisory isn't expected for Friday, as sustained winds are forecast at 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 50 miles an hour. Strong winds, low humidity, and critically dry fuels will result in critical fire weather conditions across most of the area on Friday. Elevated fire weather conditions will remain possible each afternoon through the weekend and into early next week. Red flag warnings have been issued for parts of western Nebraska also due to the extremely dry weather. Winds will be sustained 10-15 miles an hour with gusts up to 25 as the humidity falls as low as 14%. Man, guys, we need to be careful out there. You know, I've harped on it since last week, but if you looked at any of those pictures from the Texas Panhandle there on the west side of Guymon – and look at those pictures from that 400,000 acres that burnt in Kansas and Russell County and the surrounding counties around there, you'll be careful. If you got fires going on from pushing out brush piles and cleaning some land up or something like that, make sure they're out, because with 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts, ambers can fly a long ways. And I know that you got that 160 acres of love grass that you're building a new five wire fence around, and you like welding on one corner so you can get that gate hung. Just hang tight with it. You've been putting this crap off for years anyway, so another few days isn't going to hurt you. And the love grass is not green right now, so it's not that you got to turn cattle out there. So just use common sense for the next week at least. And I did see a deal last night starting December 31st through January 2nd. There is a front coming through, and it's a dry line, and we might get some moisture out of there if the dry line forms in the right spot. But it's, as of right now, it's 10 days out. I know that, but it's actually eight days out. But just, you know, pray that we can, that dry line forms right out there by the, in the eastern Texas panhandle. They get some moisture, our friends in Shamrock and Wheeler and Canadian and Kelton, and come this way and give us some rain that we actually need. If it turns into snow, so be it. We'll have a white New Year's. Well, when I get back, I have some stuff to talk about. Cattle. I got a farm equipment deal I want to do right after this break about used equipment, farm equipment, what's happening with it. As most of you guys all know, it's skyrocketing. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. It's 57 degrees, winds out of the south at 8 miles an hour, wind gust up to 13 miles an hour. Well, before I get off to my equipment deal, let's read some of the text. If you're just now joining us and you didn't hear in the first part of the show, our KCO Ag text line is open, 225-580-225-9697, easy number to remember. And if you want to, text in what you're grateful for this year in your life. So here's, man, the line lit up. First one I got was family and being blessed by God. Hey, Jimmy, please wish my son, Hunter Webb, a happy 21st birthday. We are grateful for him, too. All right. Happy birthday, Hunter. I am grateful for everything that God has gave me throughout my life and for being alive. Next one, I am grateful for my family and friends, God and my church, and if we had some rain. Yes, I agree with you 100%. Here we go. Hey, this is Lawrence. Love the show, but I heard you like fly, you ate crap, and bothered people. Great show. Yeah, it's So anyway, and then this one's for my wife. I am grateful for our family hunting and our fun friends. And yes, we do have a lot of good friends, and we're thankful for them too. So onward with the show as we might go on. Let's see. Let me tap on the right one. There we go. All right. This is about forecasting large tractor prices. I don't know what you guys' experience has been this year, but I turned down a pretty good chunk of money for my 1988 4960. I think that was the year on it. Anyway, I gave $37,000 for it back in 2012, and I was offered double that not too long ago, and I turned it down, and this is the reason why I turned it down. I got to replace it. So I'm hanging on to it. It's my tractor. I love it. Yeah, it's a pretty big tractor to do baling and shredding, and I got a 15-foot no-till that I pull behind it. But I also got that big 1,000 RPM PTO shaft on it, and my baler is got the shaft on it for the big 1,000. So is my shredder, and I don't have any buddies barring it from me because they got the 540 shaft on there. So anyways, there's some stuff to why I buy equipment like I do. But back when I bought this tractor, before I start off with this article here, when I was looking for this tractor, and this was in 2012, I was shopping while I was at work and on the computer and looking at prices and stuff. And all your tractors from basically 90 horsepower up to 150, 160 horsepower, them are the most popular. And also the equipment that goes with it, whether it be 18-foot disc or 12-foot disc or just anything up to not the major sizes, but the just normal farming sizes, just was crazy how much money they was wanting for that stuff back then and still today because it's popular and it's the right size for small acreages and blah, 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 blah. Well, my buddy Michael Brinkley over at Western Equipment at Clinton. He's now not there no more, but he's in the credit. If you need to borrow some money, he's your man at Clinton. But he found me one. It's 220 horse, front wheel assist. What the heck do I need with that big a tractor? And then it's got a front end loader on it. It had, I think, 7,900 hours on it. And a gentleman there east of Sayre, or east of Clinton, had it. And all he did was farm cotton with it and been well taken care of. $37,000. And I thought, hell, that's cheap. Because people's wanting for like a, I don't know, 45, 60. They were wanting $30,000, $40,000. Well, I get way more horsepower than I need and all that did. So I bought it. And I didn't have to buy any equipment with it. I bought some used equipment and rebuilt some to go with it. But man, you don't feel the baler behind it. What's the downfall to that is when you start baling a little bit green, you don't feel nothing behind that big tractor. But anyway, it's been a great tractor. I put on about 2,000 hours on it since 2012, and 90% of that has just been baling hay because I love to bale hay, and it's perfect tractor for all that. But right now, we are in times of massive changes with shortage of new and late model used equipment. So pricing used equipment and forecasting value is more important than ever before. We often read and hear about depreciation of used equipment, but this is an unusual time when we are able to take a closer look into something we rarely see. Used tractor appreciation is what they're calling it. They got all kinds of charts in this article, but on this index value that they're talking about, the last time we seen a steep increase in the index value like this was in 2011 through 2013, when corn prices went up from $3.50 per bushel to above $5.50 until the summer of 2013. Corn then stayed in the $3 to $4 range until this year, 2021, when corn again went above $5. The price has remained there throughout the time of this writing at $5.18, and today it's just a few pennies away from $6 a bushel. All this suggests that the corn price influences the demand for equipment and drives equipment prices higher. Well, I'm going to stop right here before I continue and give you my 2 cents on that. It's the Today in Ag 2 cents on that story. You know what we mean? So anyway, but there's also, from what I understand out there, with the debt deal going on the tractors where they got all this crap going wrong with these putting depth in the tractors and stuff, that's influencing a little bit too. Because these older tractors, you don't have to mix that in with your diesel fuel, and a lot less problems, even though these newer tractors with all this technology is a big plus. Because I don't know that we'd had to done some wiring on my 4960 with a 569 John Deere baler to tie it in, but I had a plug in right there in the back, everything plugged in, and off we go. I was off to baling, no big deal. But unlike 2011 through 2013, however, there is a scarcity of equipment in play. Recently, we heard reports of empty lots of equipment dealers. To get more insight, we can look at the duration of time that used tractors stay on dealer lots. During the time followed the high price of corn in 2012 and 2013, there was a glut of used equipment, and that's when I bought my tractor, 2012. Many dealers had difficulty moving used equipment for the next 4 years. This is shown, especially in the gray line on one of these charts they was showing me, where some dealers were holding used tractor inventory for over a year. Since that peak in 2019, however, the average days used tractors stay on a lot has declined, with some dealers now, today, in 2021, holding inventory for less than 50 days. Not surprisingly, the specific models in this chart that they got on this deal was the big boy tractors, whether it's the Case tractors or the John Deere 9520 RX specifically. Up north, they can't even, when somebody says, I want to trade this in, it's a done deal. So right now is a good time to make deals with your dealers if you're looking for something. Anyway, so what does all this mean for buyers? While limited supply and high demand are pushing used prices up, it may be time to consider to buy new. If this trend continues, look for dealer and manufacturer incentives on new models to take advantage of this scenario. If you find a used model that you are interested in, you might want to act fast and be prepared to pay more than what you expected in a typical market. Dealers, auctioneers, and sellers in the general are aware of the shortage and will adjust prices accordingly. So the impact of options on value is removed from all this analysts by normalizing the units sold on their base value. This allows for apples to apples comparisons of the products. So there you have it. So if you go look for a used tractor, whether it be at an auction or a tractor dealership or just an individual, if you find it, you better jump. This ain't a time to be saying, well, I'll get back with you in a month, and you come back, that tractor's on the other end of the United States already. If it's a tractor you want and you got the money, get the check out, time. But anyway, they're correcting this article about there might be some really good incentives out there for the buying new tractors. But from some of my friends I've heard that's ordered new tractors, they've been on back order for quite a while. But I hadn't even paid no attention to a lot. There's one south of Elk with a bunch of used tractors in it now. I don't know what the story is on that, but I'm going to have to find out what that lot is down there. I don't know if he's storing stuff, but if he's storing his stuff, he owns a lot of stuff. So I'm going to find out whose place that is down there on just right before you turn into the famous country club of Elk City. All right, here we go. Cash is losing more ground on cattle market. Cash bids were once again hard to come by last week. There was only a couple of packers in the market for the second week. This was somewhat due to the upcoming shortened and holiday harvest schedules and issues with windy conditions during the week. At week's ends, packers added a few cattle to their inventory with $138, the best cash bid in the South, with some cattle trading as low as $136 before the week was over. Cattle feeders in the North also saw the cash market erode away. Dress cattle mostly traded $217 to $218, and cash cattle mostly at $138. Packer participation was also limited in this region. This week may not be the better price week. Well, while most packers are running on a shortened harvest schedule for next week, it would be surprising to see more packers back in the market trying to buy some extra inventory before full harvest resumes in 2 weeks. Well, when we get back, we'll talk some more cattle, some more farming. We're just going to talk some ag because it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 10th. 1,715 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 357, brought 229. 4 at 541, brought 158. 9 at 628, brought 144. 6 at 664, brought 142. 10 at 749, brought 151. 13 at 983, brought 142.50. 10 head of heifers at 349, brought 159. 4 at 440, brought 138. 6 at 535, brought 141.50. 12 at 608, brought 132.50. 7 at 697, brought 136. 17 at 1046, brought 122.20. Butcher cows were 10 to 84. Bred cows, 600 to 1470. Butcher bulls, 35 to 94. Pairs brought 1150 to 1625. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I'm back. Let's check on the weather here real quick. Like 58 degrees, wind south 11 miles an hour, gusting up to 15. And we'll have next segment, we'll have our Hobart Farm and Garden long ranger forecast in the deal. Hey, speaking of this, I don't know if you're watching me live on Facebook, but we started this new deal on Today in Ag with sponsorships, and it's called the Hat Sponsor. And for a certain price, I wear your cap one day a week and read out a live read during the show. And yesterday was my first one, was Stockman's Veterinary Clinic right here in Elk City. Thank you, Dr. Taylor Mouse, and your mom and dad for doing this. And we noticed during the show that the cap, the writing on the cap wasn't doing any good. It was doing a little bit of good if I leaned up into the camera. But anyway, we changed the lighting up, and I had a text in. Jimmy, the new lighting really softens everything up. It's giving you a new glow. Thank you very much. Well, that's the reason we was doing it. And hey, if anybody's interested, we got four more openings on the hat sponsor. If you want your hat on here one day a week, you get to pick the days that are left. Right now, Tuesdays are gone, and I'll hook you up. Text me here on the text line, and I'll get you hooked up. Anyway, let's go to this, and thank you for that text. Here we go. All right, the ongoing supply chain crisis is a big headache to businesses and consumers alike, with no end in sight for their immediate future. Perishable products are particularly at risk. Even a week or two delay can affect product quality. The port delays that caused the supply chain crisis began on the West Coast with labor shortages due to the pandemic. Question there. When they went to, if they had labor shortages to start with, and I'm not trying to get political here I'm making a point of view. It says, this is what it says. The port delays that caused the supply chain crisis began on the West Coast with labor shortages due to the pandemic. Well, basically, the pandemic's still mostly going on, and it's looking at the news this morning. It's coming back with a full vengeance. So they go to 24-hour shifts out there to get the ships unloaded and get the containers all on trains and trucks and get out of there. Where'd they find these people to do this? I don't get it. Anyway, I think most of them went around the coast and come back to Florida, and Florida people were more than happy to unload those ships. These problems were coupled with truck shortages due to various reasons, including labor problems from the pandemic and California's regulations limiting the lifespan of diesel-powered vehicles. I have few trucker buddies that were going out there, and they parked right there on the Arizona-California state line and wait for some legal truck to bring them one. And I think it's 2011 or 2013 truck that you got to have or newer to be in California with no modifications to your system, fuel system. But they just sit there and wait on them. They bring them that, and then they bring them back out to the towards the east. Near Los Angeles, in November, 111 ships loaded with thousands of containers, each with were anchored offshore waiting to unload. The previous record waiting to dock was 17. 111 ships were out there, and the record was 17. This has grown into a worldwide crisis with ships and containers tied up on the west coast of the United States. Shipping delays and shortages began to snowball around the world. Handling a lot of imported fruit is definitely a difficult problem now, said the shipping specialist Taylor Ball. Ball manages West Coast citrus shipments, both imports and exports. For a large California-based fruit distribution company with growing packing and shipping operations on both coasts. The company ships more than 15 million cartons of fresh fruit annually. That's a lot of fruit. Ball said imported fruit was on the ship for too long, resulted in lower quality and a fermented taste. Fresher California fruit is on the market now, said Ball. Normally, the imported fruit would have been fresh, delivered, and off the shelves before the California fruit came to market. It's expensive to have those growers ship their fruit up to the United States, explained Ball. There's a lot of cost involved, and with the ships delayed for weeks and weeks, the value just went way down on there. So that's one of the problems we got going on, and it's still going on. There's still ships anchored out there. I don't know how many, but there's still a bunch of ships anchored out there. All right, favorite subject this year, but this is what's going on. It's just like the grocery stores, Walmart, Sam's, all these big stores, record stocks this year. I mean, record profits this year. And we were in a pandemic for the last year or two, and these guys still making money off of the consumers, and a lot of people still suffering out there. Some people too scared to go back to work. But anyway, fertilizer company sees stocks soar in 2021, on pace for the best year since 2019. It's been a good year for fertilizer stocks. Imagine that. The top fertilizer companies in North America posted big stock gains again this year, with some on pace to see their best since 2009. According to Bloomberg, for what that's worth, CF Industries Holding Incorporated is seeing the big gains as the major nitrogen producer has seen stocks soar 67% this year. And according to the Standard and S&P 500 Material Index, CF Industries, is the second best performer within the index for the entire year on the S&P 500. He also said on track to have its best year since 2019 was Monsanto, with the stock skyrocketing 58%. Nutrient stock climbed 49% in 2021. So what does all this mean? Joe, let's call him Joe, of the Standard Grain breaks it all down. And he just said we're not doing nothing, but they're not doing nothing by all this cost. They're increasing the price of fertilizer. They're just costing, basically what he's saying, hey, farmers are going to start making some money now. Farmer and ranchers are going to start making some money with their crops, with grain prices being high. You got inflation to mix in with it. So basically what he's saying is he's going, hey, let's not let them make so much money. Let's raise the prices. And by God, they did. And we're paying for it now, because I talk with a lot of guys every day, and we got to make some plans for next year, guys. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to top dress your wheat. How good is our wheat going to be? Is it damaged right now from being dry? Because we don't get a rain here in the next week or 10 days. Some of it is what I seen yesterday going to Viside up there around Leedy along the highway and stuff. I don't even know that a rain will help some of that. I mean, it's just crazy what's going. Just as things get good, something always happens. We got a drought going on, inflation, people gouging their product, and just a bad deal. So, well, when I get back, I'll have you Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas, for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, December 14th, we sold 1,069 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 16th, we sold 2,674 kids and feeders for a total of 3,743 cattle for the week. We will be closed for 2 weeks. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 69 to 782. Then cows bring 40 up to 59.5. Bulls bring 60 to 95. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 885 to 1085. With a 2 to 4-year-old pairs bringing 1550. 100 steer cattle, 11 steers weighing 284, bring 232. 3 to 350 steers, $2 to 230. 19 steers weighing 405, bring 235. 450 to 5 weights, 178.50 to 206. 6 to 650, 148 to 168. 7 to 750, 142 to 158, 8 to 850, 145 to 158 and a quarter, 9 to 950, 148 to 152, and 42 steers weighing 1,001, bring 145.50. 100 heifers, 7 heifers weighing 230, bring 230, 3 to 350, 168 to 208, 4 to 450, 157 to 170, 5 to 550, 138 to 152, 6 to 650, 135 to 146.5, 7 to 750, 141 to 145.50, and 8 to 850, 147.50 to 148, and 9 heifers weighing 918, bring 130. Again, this is our last sale for this year. We definitely appreciate your business. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. complete nutrition for every animal? That's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I got to stop talking about my tractor deals on the radio. I'm getting a text from my wife. Now, what makes a good deal? Stay out of my business, woman. Anyway, there's a... let's go with the Long Ranger here. Let's make sure she's updated. And it is 59 degrees. Humidity's 52. Wind south out at 12 miles an hour. South gust up to 15. Today's high 61. Tonight 31. It was chilly this morning. It was a lot colder than they said it was going to get. I had 24 at my house when I walked out there this morning about daybreak. Had breakfast at Poppy's Corner down there, South Elk City, with Hoyt Lewis. Coach Lewis, I call him. I just call him Coach. Anyway, he rode the Viside with me yesterday, and we went up there and picked up some corner posts, eighth brakes for a quarter-mile fence I'm going to put in next week. And I had a good time with him. He was my coach back in the 70s. Man, I'm old. So's he. Anyway, but he still looks good. He looks like he's like 40 years old, and I think he's, I don't know if he's 80 yet, but he's in his early 70s. But anyway, I'm giving you a hard time, Coach. Relax. Don't come up here and whoop my butt. Anyway, Friday, 81 degrees. Winds out of the southwest at 13, 22 miles an hour with some gusts up over 30 miles an hour. In this area right here, this is Elk City forecast up north. We got 40-mile-an-hour winds down in, around Hobart and Granite and Altus and down in that area. It's not going to be Wayne on Friday. Christmas Day, still winds will be out of the west, 17 to 18 miles an hour, gusting up to 25 with a high of 76. And Sunday, back up close to 80 degrees with winds out of the south at 10 to 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 30. So it looks like it's going to be a breezy weekend coming up. And let's see. Yeah, my wife's texting me back already. Anyway, so... I'll keep no domestic stuff on the website here, honey. Let's keep that personal. Anyway, you guys, we had Tyler Norvell in here Monday with the Oklahoma, the Cattlemen's, I want to keep saying Oklahoma, Cattlemen's Congress of Oklahoma. Anyway, that's coming up. You guys need to remember these. Write these dates down. January 1st through the 16th of January. At the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City, 16 days of some of the best that the United States cattle industry has to offer. 20-plus breed associations will be represented there, 10,000-plus cattle, 2,700 exhibitors, and 20 cattle sales. That's going to be fun. I'm not even getting paid to read this, but this is very important because that Cattle Congress has taken the Denver Stock Show kind of by surprise, and we want to keep it here. And if any of my rich buddies out there that own cattle and got some money that they didn't give their kids or their wife for Christmas, when you could call up there or when you go to the show, donate to them, help them keep that show here if you can. They can use all the help they can get. This is a great show. I talked to people that went last year, said it was phenomenal. And this is not just a 4-H and FFA stock show. They're going to have one there. But there's also, this is a ranch show where families are bringing their bulls in, their cattle in, and showing them off, selling them. 20 cattle sales are going to be going on. I know some people around here that are going to take bulls up there for on display. I seen Kyle this morning, and I forgot to ask him if he was taking anything up there, hoping maybe he's listening, he can tell me about it. But anyway, so it's very important. Just remember it. And then January 4th, the National Beef Quality Assurance will be having a seminar at the Cattlemen's Congress, and that'd be really sweet to go to. So anyway, that's what we got going on there. And then, here we go. Sweetie, the lady that calls me Sweetie, she's looking for a registered boyer buck with a big butt. There we go. Can you help me find one? So there you go. I hope I'm saying that right. Boyer, B-O-E-R, registered boyer buck with a big butt, B-U-T-T. So anyway, yeah. You need to text me back in and tell me why you want a big butt on it. So anyway, there we go. Better cut her off before I get in trouble, because people listen to me wondering when I'm going to screw up and say something I shouldn't. All right, here we go. Wildfire season, prepare for the worst. This is from John Weir, OSU Associate Extension Specialist for the Natural Resource Ecology and Management at OSU. Wintertime in Oklahoma brings a lot of changes to the land. The dormant season is the driest time of the year, rainfall-wise, with December through February normally receiving the least amount of rain than the other months. Well, yep, used to be that way, but it looks like the last 2 months is what we got now. Then the drying and curing of the past summer's growth and forage adds to conditions favorable to wildfires. On my little expedition to Visay yesterday, when I got up north of Hammond, between there and Leedy, and even up north of Leedy between there and Camargo, they had some good growth this year. And there's a lot of big native grass up there. So, yeah, it wouldn't take much to spark fires in our listening area here. Then the drying and cure of the past summer's growth of forage adds to conditions favorable for wildfires. Typically, most wildfires in the state occur December through March due to these dry conditions, but wildfires can happen any month of the year. Being prepared for a wildfire is something that we can do year-round. Just a small amount of preparation can make a difference if you ever face with an oncoming wildfire. And I know some people that are in the Roger Mills Burn Association that they do prescribe burns for people. And they do a lot of burning in June and July. What people, most of you already know, but I got listeners on here that are learning, so I got to say this. If your humidity is way low, your grass can be as green as a John Deere tractor, and it'll still light up like fire, so like fuel. So they do a lot of burning during the summer when things are green. All it is low humidity. They can go on and does it. Sometimes when it's greener, it does a better job. But we don't need any fires right now. No fires whatsoever, because March is a long ways away before things start greening back up. So dirt's going to be blowing and the whole nine yards, so we don't need any fires right now. One of the first things you should check with your insurance agent and determine what is covered and if you have enough coverage in case you were to receive damages from a wildfire. Then you need to start looking around your home, barns, and other structures to see if there's anything that can be done to reduce the risk around those structures. Make sure all the tall grass is mowed short and around them. Remove any volatile trees like cedars that may be growing nearby. Cedars, I hate them with a passion. Also, make sure to remove all flammable items such as wood piles from around buildings as well. I talked to a fireman that was on that fire up there the week before last at Raiden, where it started out there by Skip Out Lake. And the one house that they lost that burnt, that they couldn't do nothing with, was just stuff piled everywhere around it. It was just like, it could have been, they might have been able to save it, but they couldn't get in there because of everything burning around that house. So it just burnt down to the ground. So keep that in mind. Equipment should be stored in areas that will not burn, like gravel or bare ground areas. If those are not available, continually mow or graze storage areas short to keep fire intensity down. Also, when you store equipment for the year, make sure to clean and remove all excess vegetation and oils from the outside. Next thing to think about is hay storage. Store hay in bare ground areas and don't store all your hay in one area. I'll tell you something. the insurance company that we got with on our farm might be wrong, and my wife will probably text me and let me know how wrong I am. Our insurance will not cover our hay if we stack it in stacks of more than 40 or 50 bales. I don't know the exact number because I don't do that many in one stack anyway. That's something you need to figure out too. Call your insurance agent. Say, hey, if I got 100 bales stacked here, am I covered? Because more than likely, you're not. And I noticed after a couple of years ago when they started doing these big round bales of cotton out there, I noticed they were stacking them all together, and I noticed the next year they wasn't. They were they had them spread out quite a ways because some people were driving around with freaking utility knives cutting plastic. Some people were starting fires, so not cool. They're not cool guys. I don't know what I'll do if I ever caught somebody doing something like that. I'm not sure. That's sand. Easy digging down there along the river. A lot of times we store hay due to convenience, but this may not be the safest place to have it. Remember, many insurance companies will only insure a haystack to a certain value or amount of hay. So check your insurance policy and think about where you store your hay. Hey, man, I was thinking even before I got the article read. Sorry about that. Plans should also be made for protecting and moving livestock in case of a wildfire. Create safe areas for livestock with salt or mineral placement or winter feeding grounds along fence lines and pasture corners that will create areas of low fuel, reducing fire intensity, and hopefully allowing us livestock a safe haven during a wildfire. Do not try to herd or move animals in front of an oncoming wildfire. This is extremely dangerous. Always ensure the safety of your family, helpers, and you before attempting to move livestock during a wildfire. The heck you say? I love my cattle. I'm going to do everything I can do to protect them. But I do have a 25-acre pasture that down there west, in my place west of Willow, that's 400 acres there. There's a 25-acre lot, or not a lot, but a small pasture in there that they love grazing down because that's a it's Plains Bluestem, and they graze it down. It's one of those areas the cattle does. Then I move them out of there. I rotate them out of there once they get it mowed down. And if there was ever a wildfire down in that area and I got down there quick enough, all I got to do is move them to that 25 acres because they got it grazed down pretty low. And if the fire comes across there, it will be at not very high flames. The most proactive effort that can be done, yes, you're right, Mr. Odom. We're going to whoop them. We're going to whoop them. I'm not going to repeat what you said, but yeah, whoop them. That's what's going to happen. The most proactive effort that can be done to help prevent and reduce wildfire impacts, fighting fire with fire. Start using prescribed fire. Man, I must be highly intelligent because they're talking about stuff I already talked about. Start using prescribed fire during proper conditions to remove old forage group growth, controlled eastern red cedars. Yes, thank you. They need to be all gone, as well as creating blackened areas to protect property from damages. Prescribed fire has been shown to reduce the incidence of wildfire and make it safer for those that are fighting fire by removing those fuels and other fuel loads around the deal. And speaking of those guys fighting fire, tomorrow, Elk City Fire Chief Kyle Schepfinke will be on here tomorrow on the show to help you guys. We'll talk about this in particularly, and also anything around, because these wildfires can affect small communities. So if you live in town, that doesn't mean that you might get away. You're not going to get away from some of these wildfires. More than likely not around Elk City, but there's a lot of communities up north, especially Arnett, Sealing, Camargo, Leedy. There, you know, wildfires can affect those cities pretty easy because there's some big grasslands up there around them. So anyway, but hope you enjoyed that little article. There we go. Byproducts. The outlook for livestock, strong beef byproduct sales are buoying byproduct values, which in turn lift live cattle prices and put more cash in producers' pockets. A lot of people ask me about the byproducts, and when I'm talking about byproducts, I'm talking about hides, the hooves, the bones, the intestines, the hearts, the livers, tongues, the brains, the whole nine yards. So there's people out there buying them because they're, I think the liver and kidneys, or at least the livers, are a hot item in South Africa right now. So they're getting some deals. The aggregate values of byproducts is referred to as drop value or drop credit, and often simply the drop. The drop reflects the wholesale value packers receive from animal byproducts that drop off the carcass when an animal is harvested for beef. These items include hides, edible offal, and inedible offal. Variety meats are a subcategory of edible offal. I hope I'm saying that right. Offal. Sounds awful too, doesn't it? The USDA Market News release a weekly report on cattle byproduct values. A steer byproduct value, which is the NWLS 441, is released daily. USDA's weekly National Carlet Meat Report consolidates several reports, including the cow and steer byproduct bases and stuff like that. So that's how they come up with all this byproduct stuff. So it is adding value this year. So, well, I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, we got just a second here. Let's see if there's any crazy texts. What is the reason for catching your grass on fire? Well, most of the time there's not a reason. Oh yeah, there's a reason. There's that one person. Anyway, I thank God I'm still able to get around and feed my cattle every day. I love my family. Well, you guys have a great day, and God bless. Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hottest country music on the planet.
This is KECO Elk City.
We're in a different place than a year ago. Lisa Brady, Fox News. The White House says there's no need to head toward a lockdown, even as some schools go back to remote learning temporarily as COVID's new variant rages. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the president wants schools to stay open. She's emphasizing the tools available to fight the pandemic now, including the vaccines, and now the first pill to treat COVID. Pfizer winning a